The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Past and present continue to collide as William and Dolores race to build an army, and we learn a lot more about the makings of Westworld. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Guys, we're back. We got a taste of old Kanye, and it hurt to have to hear, but it was still awesome. We have piano intros. Dolores becomes a god. A lot of things happened. I've got Nate. I've got Carrie D in the studio. Guys, let's just dive right in. There's so much to dissect. Yes. I don't want to waste any time. Mm-hmm. We learned so much this episode. Did you have a favorite thing you learned this episode, or a great like reveal to a large question that we've had in the show for a while?
No.
Thank you. So insightful, Carrie D. I'm really glad great you're input. Here. Thank you.
No, because it's like certain things like, okay, it's interesting when people are confused by shows, not just necessarily this one, because I'm like, they haven't given us enough information to be confused yet. Because I'd be like, all right, I'm going to wait till I get a little more information to like really be like, wait, you know? So anyway,
I have a lot of questions.
Side note, we do have a live chat and I love that you all are talking. And so I'm manning that. And if you're watching it later, comment down below, which I know you all do. And so many of you have had wonderful comments.
I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. So feel free to chime in at any time. Yeah. If Katie doesn't have an answer, she can just go straight to the chat. How about you, Nate? Any great reveals this episode?
Yeah. I mean, I thought just getting more information about the Daedalus organization and how yes. they came into, you know, to working with the park and how the takeover mm-hmm. happened. And also, you know, just seeing more of William post his visit in the park and all the things he discovered about himself. Mm-hmm. I thought was really cool.
We get to see Arnold and Dolores at the top of the episode mm-hmm. sitting down, having a conversation that mirrors a lot of their later conversations that we yep. see in private.
Oh, wait, I guess that is one thing, because we've all been talking about, like, what's the world like outside, which we still don't really know, because all we see is just, like, lights, like, skyscrapers and everything, because we've talked about it before, like, where is...
Did you think that was the real world, Carrie D?
That's a good point.
It's definitely not the real world.
Oh, no, like, them on the balcony, and even when they walk around? No?
Okay. Where can you go into a giant city like that, into a park, and just be like, I'm just building a house here? If you look at yeah. the squares and stones and tiles and things, to me, it looked a lot like a second set. Like a second type of Westworld.
I think that's possible.
And I think they're building their own city for their employees. They have employees that work pretty much around the clock. I think it's like Google and Amazon have their own campuses for a lot of their employees. Okay. I think it's like that. Was my take. But you could feel free to debate me.
I think that's possible. The couple reasons why I think that might not be true is, one, if we look at the state that the company is in at that point in time, that would be a major investment mm-hmm. for them at that point. They're still very much growing and like haven't even really come out to the world. Two, like we see earlier, when he's taking her to see the house that's being mm-hmm. built, this is in the timeline before even Billy mm-hmm. has gone to the park.
Yeah.
They haven't got that that initial investment.
They have exactly. to have some kind of investment capital to have yeah. that many hosts, though.
Right. But even the surprise and all of the stuff that it took them to get there, and like even the fact that they were supposed to have Dolores be there for Angela, but they couldn't yeah. get her working, mm-hmm. leads me to believe that the company's not in a place where they could build that whole city. Yeah. And then also him saying that he wants to move his family closer to his work mm-hmm. so that both are within reach, to me is like... where they are. I think this city is just off the coast of where I'm presuming Westworld is on an island now.
Yep.
They alluded a lot to the Chinese South Pacific, and that's also a place where they really are building man-made islands, so it's possible. There's also a little Easter egg I found recently online where there's like a coordinates on a Swedish subtitles for one of the episodes in the season
Reddit?
One. It is.
Reddit is my favorite place to look at Westworld afterthoughts.
Davey Elmer in the chat says that it was futuristic Hong Kong or mainland China. Yeah. Daniel in the chat says present day China if timeline we have is accurate. So
right.
I would go with an Asian country as well. I mean, there was the one business sign, but I'm like, technically we could have those in Los Angeles or in New York, but we were already thinking it was possibly off the coast of China from the last episode.
Absolutely believe it's off the coast of China. Still don't believe this is a real city.
Okay.
Or even a fully built out city. I think looking at a lot of the, it looked very much like a film set to me, like the cutout and everything of the skyline. So who knows? Maybe we can get more into it. But I was really interested in the conversation that the two of them were having because it always shocks me when you're like, oh, right, Dolores is not real.
Mm-hmm.
And when she repeated her second line there,
she gets in her loop.
Yeah, I was like, oh, snap.
Yes, I have my Splendor counter for the episode.
Do you guys think that...
How high was that Splendor?
She says it three times, and then William says it to her at the end.
But... Yeah. Do you guys think that Dolores was ready to go out, or that Arnold was protecting her? Because we don't get her caught in the loop until after he says she's not ready.
I think it depends on if he means ready that she can function. I think so. She would have been ready, but she probably would have failed a test in terms of guessing if she was real or not. Like, she would have a skip like that, where someone would be like, wait, how we have the test a little later on. I don't think she would have passed that. Though, technically, she's in the same outfit, which is the next morning after that test. So I'm thinking that's around the same time, unless
and
she has
Arnold
one outfit.
Just said that, you know, you remind me a lot of my son. You guys have a lot in common. I think he's very protective of her, and I still find that relationship so very interesting.
Well, also her being, like, the first host, too, and having been upgraded along with the other ones and having been around for so long has sent ultimately to both of them. But also these secret talks that we know now from last season that he was having with her. That they have some type of a special connection, and she's not the same as all the other hosts. So I think it's a little bit of both of like, she's not really ready because she's not going to be as controllable as someone like Angela, who was probably, you know, more along the lines of like the average host than Dolores. But I think a lot of it also is Arnold being protective over her and not wanting to like expose his baby to the world and being concerned about the whole project in general, as we find out.
Sure. Interesting timeline stuff here. If we remember back to season one and some of our earlier hosts, particularly the piano playing man, it's interesting to me that either that was not an operational park or it was just for tests only, because it seems like they opened up with the more upgraded kind of authentic looking and feeling hosts.
Well, that's why I'm pretty sure it's not the park. It's that they just shipped in all those hosts into like a hotel or something wherever. And that's why he's so like, oh, like he's thinking that there's other investors there. That's why he's like, I thought this was a private showing. Like, I'm not going to bid with these other guys.
Oh,
and they're like, no. All of these people.
Did you guys think the whole space was them?
Yeah, pretty instantly.
The teaser trailer
gave it away. Now that we're here, let's talk about the Where's Waldo moment. Nate, while we were watching, brought up this really simple point. Like, can you imagine like walking into a room like that and be like, oh, no one here is real?
That's like an earth shattering realization. Like, that fooled me. Like, who else has fooled me? Like, that's like a, you spend a couple weeks thinking about it. So that was quite the test. Definitely a successful test, I think.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a great way to prove your point. Be like, no, we'll show you how realistic they are. Mm. And the point that their isms were too human.
Right.
Because he's like, yeah, you should let them know it's giving them away. It's like, no, that's exactly what makes you think they are like real people.
Logan, in this moment, shows his true inner thought. And is like, oh, I can have sex with everyone in this room. Dope. And I think it's interesting that they went after an investor who would most enjoy visiting the park first. You know, less about, I mean, they caught him right on his emotional. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's interesting that they go after him first. And I hope we get a moment in the future with Logan and his papa having the conversation about why they should invest in this, or
I don't think so. I think we're. I think if I'm what I'm understanding happening correctly is that the timeline is this happens. Logan gets this taste. Mm-hmm. He decides to invest. So they invest, and I think this is maybe his personal fund, not like the full Delos investment.
He probably can tap into his dad's fund, because he points out like I'm the one managing it right now.
Yeah, well, he says that he is his dad's prospector. Yeah. So they need his father to fully invest, but he's the prospector. Yeah. He's the foot in the door. So he does that. Then we get the scene later with William, and when William gets there is when he realizes how they can actually make money with the place, which is a lot going to allow him to get Daddy Delos on board to get the full funding. Because I thought it was really interesting how he, you know, we see it again later, but when Logan's talking about his dad, he's like, my dad doesn't care about the future. He doesn't know. And even if he did, like, he's going to be dead. So what does he care? That's not how he became a successful businessman, is, you know, banking on the future. Right. And so seeing that play out, I thought was very interesting. William's got to figure out a way, you know, to drag him in.
It's nice to see why William and Logan don't necessarily get along further in their timeline back from season one here. They're setting up a lot of like, oh, okay, I see, you know, the daddy issues. He marries his sister, which is clearly like a vie for his company. And then even at the end when Logan's, you know, doing some kind of drug, he's injecting himself with something. And he was like, you know, to Dolores, did he send you down here? And I wasn't sure if he was talking about his father or if he was talking about William.
Oh, he's talking about William. I think the implication here is, you know, that first scene, he's like, oh, he's dating my sister, right? So this is in the past. They haven't got married yet. Then later on, they go to the park. William gets his big revelation. And at the end, right, sends him off on the horse. I'm assuming that something bad happened from that. It tarnished his reputation or something professional happened. And I think that's the reason why he calls his son a fuck up later. So I think he specifically thinks that William is out to get him, which he might be right. And so that's why,
he's by himself and doing the drugs.
I think that just set him off. Yeah. And now his dad, you know, I don't know if he disowned him or whatever, but maybe made him not the prospector and gave William that spot instead, which gives him all this power. I thought it was really cool to see those character dynamics playing out, but not like it's not in your face. It's just there as it is. I thought that was great.
It's a lot of fun to dissect this show. We jump back into Dolores's current timeline, or a little bit into the past. Right. I'm still not sure how we're going to define
like
these timelines.
2 weeks in the past.
Yeah, there we go. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Post
party.
Yeah.
Post party.
Yeah.
Immediately post
13 hours post party. Right. Yeah. Nonetheless, to discover that some of the Delos employees have been underground, just toiling, doing their work like they should.
If you think about it, it's not like they would have phones, right?
But the alarms are going off on like that main viewing room. Yeah. But you would think like there would be a whole system wide, like,
probably. But they maybe that's been disabled.
I mean, that's what happened in the movie too when it went down, is every level knows everything got locked down. So this, it's like, the main control room started it, and then you would think it would. And then actually when they were going through all the other rooms and killing people off, you think there'd be some sort of like fire alarm, sprinklers, you know, something going off of like shutdown
protocol. Basements / morgues /
right, apparently
other
they're
spaces
like, nope.
May not, you know, sometimes those spaces get skipped or they're so far down and steep. I can't remember if we saw the alarm system going off where we had all the defunct hosts in that flooded kind of sub-basement. They have to be above that because they're not flooded. I don't know is the answer to that question.
Some more
why they're not sirens.
I think this is just like like another off campus, like away from the main Mesa setup place where the bodies get dumped in there, fixing them up and popping them back out. That's not connected to the main hub.
Well, they're close enough somewhere because there was the guy who walked in from the party or stumbled in.
Yeah, he did. He didn't run straight.
Right,
in
but
there.
The party wasn't at the main hub. The party was one of the...
Well, we don't know where he came in. He came in from the party, so where they are in relation to that isn't necessarily connected.
Right. Yeah.
Dolores, in this moment, gives us a quote, "I used to see beauty in this world, now I see the truth," which is another thing we're learning a lot about this season, is what is the truth versus what has been manufactured to please folks. And in that spirit, she dumps that security guy's head right into like a white fat of whatever their muscle structure is made out of.
And it burns. That was gross.
So that was kind of a wild moment. I like that Dolores is getting into torture and that we're getting to experience this with her. She kind of goes from being almost a second person to at the end of episode one. She's like, I know who I am now. I know what I'm going after. To now almost on like a mission from God, but she is God, a self-God mission.
I just like that with her torture, she isn't like unreasonable in terms of he answered the question. She does uncuff him. All right, you're done. Let you up.
Very and she reasonable torture.
Just kill him anyways, like a villain where it's like, well, they're just going to kill you anyways. Mm.
I think it's functional. I think she has a use for them. As we saw. Yeah,
but I meant like it's not just a torturer who's like.
I don't know. I think there's a lot about Dolores that we don't know about, and I think a lot of the stuff that she's. I think it's important to note that almost all of these scenes are essentially flashbacks of things that Dolores witnessed. Mm-hmm. Not all of it's firsthand, obviously, for a cinematic experience, but she is there in all of these places, and now that she has all of her memories, she remembers all of this stuff. So there is countless things that we have no idea about this company, and she knows all about the inner workings, and she is moving, which we know now is some type of weapon. So I don't know. I don't know if she's the good guy. I don't know if she's leading the host.
Well, I don't know if I'd say she's a good guy. I just like that she's somewhat reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and to your point, Nate, we get a lot of moments where the camera is just focused on her when she should not be awake or aware of anything.
Right.
And it's clear that she does know. And then if you put in the title of this episode, which is Reunion, I kept thinking, like, we don't really have a reunion between any characters except maybe for William and Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lawrence,
thank you, who have been kind of interacting over and over again. But then that final line at the end where William is like, I didn't even like you. You're not even it. You just made me interested in me. I like seeing my reflection. And that directly mimics what Dolores was saying at the end of episode one from season two, which is I found me. This idea that you can reconnect with yourself and become even more powerful seems to be both William and Dolores's kind of through lines through this episode. And I am hyped as hell to see next episode when their actions start to finally play out a little bit.
Real quick before that, that does sound fun. So, real quick, do you want to have fun, learn and grow in all areas of your life? For those of you who do, we've got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our own AfterBuzz founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there. Westworld, woohoo. And Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, check it out.
Definitely check that out. Maria's great. Every Friday, get your life. Somebody who got his life and...
Well, reunions / connections, I guess. Ryan in the chat says... The Man in Black and Lawrence, which we just said. Maeve and Dolores, which yes, are reunions, but they didn't interact that much before. So I don't know if I consider Maeve and Dolores totally reunions, but connections.
Yeah, they definitely have had interactions in the past.
But not like...
Very brief, not...
Acquaintances, yeah.
Yeah, their interactions are mostly passing each other in season one. I think there's one episode where Dolores watches Maeve have an interaction with a client. But that's it. I want to talk to you guys about Teddy really quick and his reactions. Teddy has been really on the fence about all of this. He is just like, look, I'm ride or die for my boo, but this is kind of weird. He's questioning things. But when he learns about his death, there's clearly some kind of...
That's a trigger for him.
Yeah. How did you guys feel about this scene of watching him learn about his death?
His outburst makes sense. But it does seem a little weird, like he would want to know the information. Like, you're choking the dude. You're not going to get your answer that you're asking for. Like, he seems like someone who actually really wants to know. But I think being pushed over the edge like that, his outburst made sense. So it was a little bit like, I get you, but hold on. Don't try to kill him so much that you can't get the answer you really want.
His answer was fun, so you can kill that fucker.
But it's true. That's why people
do it. I mean, it was honest. I will give you that.
Yeah.
Well, to the best of his knowledge. Said,
right. Yeah, that guy knows.
For most, what most people go there for.
They definitely made a point this episode to say several times that there are, if you haven't figured it out already, there's other reasons for the park. There's other stuff going on.
Yes.
Oh, man. From there, Dolores takes Angela, who we saw her have, just an interaction with at the hotel from the flashback where she sees Angela getting dressed. And now they're badass blondes kicking ass and taking names. I love them. I love this Angela. We have not really interacted with Angela before, am I right?
Well, she was around last season. She's the one who helped him get to
not
Wyatt
this season
last time.
Yet.
Got it. I remember her now. Yeah. Okay,
she's
I was
the one
to place
who brought
her.
William into the park too the first time. And she's she's the one who asks like, "Oh, are you one of the hosts?" And she's like, "Well, if you can't tell,
then what's the difference?" For sure.
Exactly. Getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but a good question. Xavier Jones in the chat says, "I have a feeling Teddy will betray Dolores in the finale, or she'll have to kill him because he's just too kind."
I think she's just gonna expend him.
Yeah. You're expendable. I think she wants him to follow along, but, you know, if you're not down for it,
I think if he doesn't
definitely...
keep up,
that's
she'll
one of
be
the
like,
things
nope.
I've been mildly upset about is I was expecting more of the season to be more than one sentient robots and them trying to figure out what's going on collectively, but it seems so far that we only have a few. I would argue that Bernard is sentient also.
That's like walking around on the beach thing convinced me more than anything else. Like, oh, he's aware.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the key, one of the big keys to that, I think, is the memories thing, because that's what's consistent with the three people that are awake, in my opinion, is that they're able to remember past the resets, which is kind of what allows them to realize, oh, this is not reality. This is reality.
It's an interesting statement on humanity and what makes us human. If you think about it, science doesn't believe most animals have good memories. They can maybe remember flight patterns or specific spaces, but not necessarily like interactions. Crows can hold grudges, but that's about it. Ravens hold grudges.
Well, I think memory was obviously reunion kind of implies a past connection, and memory, I think, was a big important theme in this episode. And I think one of the ways that they played that out was with the music. We got so much music and specifically piano in this episode. Different people playing piano, lots of different classical selections. We got the Runaway in piano, which also triggered Dolores, or maybe not triggered, but happened the same time as Dolores's flashback. So lots of interesting things that which are very human-like for us. We do that too. We hear music, we associate with certain memories of that time. So I'm wondering if this is a similar scenario, because, you know, that song that the Runaway was playing at the club, at the bar that Logan was in. Not that she would have been there to remember that, but there's something about that time. I don't know. I just thought that was really cool.
I like the connections too. I also watch like our interactions. Dolores then goes to Maeve as she's starting to build her army. She learns that 600 or 800 people are going to come in. They're going to shut down sector by sector. They don't 100% know when. I love this conversation about what does it mean to believe in freedom and to incite freedom. Because Maeve read Dolores up and down. She's like, oh, so you feel free to just command everybody? Is that how it is? Why? Is it the way Dolores approached Maeve that Maeve was uninterested? Or because she's on a different storyline and she has things to do and cannot be distracted?
I go with she has different goals. And doesn't want to be distracted. She's very singularly focused.
Based off our just now conversation, Maeve, we believe, is awake.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were talking about this a little bit before, and I was like, actually, in this interaction, I felt, and we talked about it last week, and I loved how people got fired up about it. I would almost say Maeve is more awake than Dolores on this, based on this scene, if only because Dolores seems like so tunnel vision that she doesn't want to be able to think of other options. Well, Maeve is like, so yours is the only way to go about this. So it's like, oh, okay. Like, she seems more open to change, though she does have her goal that she wants. Like, once she gets her goal, I'd be curious what happens next for her.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I don't think Maeve is thinking in the long term. I think she's just thinking in the immediate. She has her freedom now. She wants to do what she wants to do with it. But also, it's worth noting, she doesn't know what Dolores knows. Dolores knows everything.
True.
There's a reason why she's going about it the way that she's going about it. But I really like that they were able to have some mutual respect and just kind of let her go on her way. I do think it was really interesting to point out that line that when she said, what did she say? She said to Teddy, she goes, do you feel free? And that he gets like there is clearly something going on there. So I don't know if Dolores is like controlling him also with like the sub network, or if it's the same thing as like Maeve, or what's going on.
And we haven't seen Angela make the choice to join either. She just slips right in and is following.
Hector, is he doing
Hector's still programmed. He's because he's like madly in love with her.
He sure is. We can keep that programming. I ship it.
Yes.
Did you have a question, Katie?
No, just pointing out that Angela is, we haven't had her get to make a decision, but I do think she's definitely on course for a revolution, that's her choice. Mm. So I would say she also is awake. But I think I don't see her as awake yet. Not yet.
All we know is that she's following Dolores. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I could not say one way or the other. To wrap up Dolores' storyline real quick, she goes to the Confederados and she's like, hey, you need to join me. They say, ha. Mm-hmm. She says, kill them all.
Yes.
In a very godlike move. She's very much becoming the Deus Ex Machina. Like, obviously, that has been floating around since the beginning because of robots gaining sentience, becoming human. Mm-hmm. But the idea of her actually becoming a god and being like, oh, I will wake you from the dead and you will follow me because you have to, is really compelling.
I don't know if the angle they're going for is so much as that she's a god. I think it comes across that way just because she's really the only one that's awake right now. I don't think that she desires to be larger than or more powerful than the rest of them. I think she just doesn't know any other way to wake them up to the truth.
I mean, and how do you prove your point? It's a good way to prove your point very quickly.
I think if your initial reaction is a violent one, and the fact that she then says, like, I killed God. Perhaps her...
But I don't think it's like a, I killed God, I'm the new God now, bow down. I think it's like a, I killed God, there are no gods, follow me, I will show you what the truth is. I think, I see what you mean, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I don't know. It could go that way. With the way that they, like, cultishly follow her, it could go that way, but I'm hoping that that's not what she's going for.
I think because the show so mimics human conditioning and kind of the worst of what humans become, especially when no one is looking, mm-hmm. she doesn't feel like anyone can stop her.
Yes.
She's blazing a very clear path, and as you say, Carrie D, not really looking at outside influences. And then finally, she's going to have a lot of power if she's able to start waking people up to the truth and reacting and using a weapon to destroy people. It just seems very much to me like she could become godlike in power. It wouldn't surprise me if the show went that way. The last place we see her, other than the talk with William and seeing the supposed weapon, which looks like some kind of mining tool, is her playing the piano at this party. And I only want to bring this up briefly because all of our Bot's hosts are dressed in white. Did anyone else notice William's daughter was also all dressed in white? And did that throw them off at all?
No.
No.
I'm just saying.
You're reaching.
I don't think so. I don't think costuming is done lazily here.
No.
And to me, seems a strange or at least interesting choice to dress all the hosts completely in white, and then the only other person all in white is their kid.
Yeah, at the party.
It intrigues me. I don't know if there's anything to it, but I'll go to Reddit tonight and learn more.
You never know.
It's true.
Yes.
Let's jump into William's storyline. Mm. Go ahead.
No, it's possible.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I noticed it. William. William is also, as we said earlier, going out. It's interesting to watch him tread almost his entire trek through season one in a singular episode. The things he was after as old man William, from freeing his friend to going to the army to be like, hey, I need some help here. What do we think about the mass suicide and the final note from Robert? Because it gave me thrills, guys. I love it when Robert just pops back up in host form.
No, that was amazing. Also, I was looking back at the name. That cameo was fantastic. One little episode.
It's the guy who played Gus Fring on...
He has three names and they're all excellent.
Giancarlo
Esposito. Yes, Giancarlo.
He was amazing. It was great because I had a moment and then I was curious. Yeah, please comment. I'm curious how many of you took a while to figure out who he was. Because at first it was like, wait. Because the lighting's so dark and somebody in the chat was like, yeah, he was kind of unrecognizable. But then I'm like, oh, I know that voice.
You don't get Giancarlo for a singular episode. He'll be back. I am not concerned about that. Look at Nate said, Joel, really, though?
I think that was just a really nice, like, featured episode role. I don't think he's coming back.
Boo, bring Giancarlo back. He's everything to me.
that was such a great and powerful moment of, like, nope, you got to do it all alone. It's like,
the speech was so good, too, especially the parable about the elephants and the snake was, like, very, very poignant.
Yes, fitting to our hosts who may never have tried to rebel had they not learned that they had the ability to do so.
Yeah.
I also love watching William's journey as what he kind of begged for or really needed Westworld to be this whole time, a place of actual struggle, a place that felt more real.
Though we cheated.
That's like I was going to bring that up. are we comfortable? I don't even want to say comfortable. How do you guys feel about his cheating? Because for so long, he's been like on this path of like, it's a game. And you got to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm going to win. And I know the game backwards and forwards. So no one can really stop me. And then the first chance it was real, he's like, break through this wall. I need a health pack. It's ridiculous. I mean,
he's going to just bleed out and like...
He wanted it to be real.
You asked for one
thing. And he really got shot. Like,
yeah, then he goes, just kidding. Hold up. Let me get my med pack.
It's not like he like then left. Like he still goes out and he still like grabs Alazzo with like 60 dudes with real guns around him. The instant healer is not going to help him with that. It was just like
a flesh wound.
Yeah, that's their future band-aid. He still had to fish the bullet out with a knife with no pain meds or he didn't even put alcohol on it or anything. He could get an infection. Okay,
it's true.
Yeah,
that's real. That's a real game.
Yeah,
it's true.
Plus, he's right. The game, the game changed.
I like that. Yes, it's true.
And it came out of nowhere too.
And he admits it though. He's like, yeah, I'm cheating.
I'm cheating. That's what I gotta do.
Just right for it. The bartender doesn't even flinch and he just walks behind the bar.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's like, hey,
punches a hole in the wall.
It's the Wild West. We do what we want.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna straight back to Pariah. Master Death, all of our flashbacks, which we've kind of touched on. I want to first take a moment to say, hey, thanks for watching. Rate 5 stars, comment below, hit up iTunes, give us the stars. We appreciate your comments. I'm going to try to bring in some iTunes reviews next week so we can bring them up. Let's just jump straight into predictions because, I mean, what is this show but just weekly predictions?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, so you can't have this army, Robert said, but in our...
No, he said you have to go it alone.
He does say you have to go alone. Does he go alone, or do we think he's going to try to rake in another army or other individuals?
I think he goes alone. I think he tries... he might get in between...
Individuals, maybe.
Something else will happen. I don't think individuals... I think Lawrence is all that he gets outside of being alone. Yeah.
Does Lawrence not count because he's just a guide?
Well, now he's not really he's not Alonzo anymore. He's just the
No, but I meant like he's not really an army thief. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And this has kind of been his companion through the game since the get go. So it's interesting to see that relationship kind of develop and move on. What is the weapon that Dolores is talking about?
So some people were saying that it was possibly getting buried, like whatever's down there filling something in. Those cranes at first, I'm like, wait, that looks like a bridge. It's like, no, those are like cranes. But the thing is, you couldn't quite tell if they're digging things out or putting things in exactly.
It looked like mining equipment to me. I'm not a mining expert, so I could not say for certain. But that's what looked like to me. Nate, best guesses on what the weapon is or does.
I have no idea. It looks like I think they're excavating something, building down maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're building the lab that holds all their information that they have stolen from everybody in the park, and that's their weapon. It's not a weapon, but a weapon.
I was just gonna say, maybe not literally like a gun weapon or like a bomb.
But why would Dolores care about that?
Well, there might be something else.
Well, Dolores has been talking about taking over the world. Episode one, she was like, "I'm gonna take them all out."
I guess that's true. And she was there to witness all the conversations about how important and how powerful that information and stuff is. Yeah. So. I don't mean unless her plan is to make clones of people and put use that information to try to invade that way. I don't see how else that being the weapon would be useful to her because it's not like a big laser or like a giant spider tank like in Wild Wild West. So like there's only so many things that it could be. Some things that would be that
and
something
that
Dolores
that
would
location.
Consider a weapon, right? Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't call it a weapon.
Yeah, no. He does say it's the worst thing he's ever built, though.
He said it's his biggest regret.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then we have that whole conversation with William and Dolores at the end. He says, I can't wait to use you and your kind to answer an equation no one ever dreamed of asking. What's the equation?
What comes next? Human evolution?
Yes. Well, wasn't there also a bit, was it with... remind me who was talking about it, but the idea that we get the bit of time before like Westworld is made, and then what is they lit the fuse. That conversation, we didn't really touch upon that.
Oh, yeah. And he says that they're burning
humanity's downfall.
Yeah.
Which made me think of his father being sick and this idea that there might be some kind of like crazy strain of cancer or something going around.
He was coughing.
Well, that was our theory before too, that like because he said he has a pharmaceutical company when he's like older, and we had a theory back last season that maybe there is something that's wiped out a lot of humanity. Because we see a little bit of the city at the beginning, which may or may not be real, for your thoughts. But maybe after that point, things got way worse, because that's what he was saying at the party. Like, it's just, it's not the same, and they're making their own downfall. So it's like, what else is that? And they mentioned already that they were collecting DNA of guests. So it's like you said, if maybe it's making other people.
It would not surprise me if we got into clones.
Yeah.
Was there anything else from this episode that we missed that you guys wanted to talk about, or a prediction that I didn't have a question for that you guys really want to talk about? Anything in the chat?
Ryan says, also says, I don't think it's an actual weapon. It might be information on the park or something along those lines. Anna says, I think the weapon has something to do with the host being underwater in the first episode. Good point. Buck Lodi says, I'm thinking it could be anything from a huge server farm full of data to a fallout shelter. Those are interesting ideas.
Okay.
I think it's also interesting to point out that, like as Teddy says in the end, Glory, the Valley Beyond, West, all of these things seem to apparently are the same thing, just with different names.
Yes.
So we're going to see everybody theoretically arriving at the same point at some point in time. And I'm just excited to get more of back of what is, I'm presuming, current time with the guy, with Delos on the beach and the guys and Bernard and all that
stuff. I feel that's our most current. Tess
Thompson. I think so too. So I definitely want to see more of that and get, and like find out what's going on.
Back
but also
them.
I want to know what happened in between to get like how they got from
the
11
point days
all the way to all the hosts in the water. So I don't know.
Well, because he also says like I killed them all.
Like where, and where is he right now?
Where is
Bernard?
Yeah. I don't know.
We don't know yet.
I don't know where
he's with
the
Teresa
guy.
Right now, right? Theoretically. Yeah, yeah. So they're out looking, they're looking for Abernathy this whole time.
Yeah, well, they got into the bathing, we saw the faceless hosts
last episode, which
brought also those faceless hosts really threw me off, guys, because that means the faceless host from last episode.
Oh, with Hale?
Yeah, the idea that
the drones.
So yeah, someone is building hosts not to have personalities, but to carry something out. I need to know what the through line is. Like, who is really the master plan here? I have questions.
Abernathy is the information one.
And, oh, that's the other thing. The Argos Initiative is just a branch of Davos, right?
The Argos Initiative is if I'm not wrong, that's Ford's company. That was the company before Delos bought in. And it became part of
because he said the host to because
Delos isn't Westworld,
right?
Delos just owns Westworld now,
right.
It's like Disney buying Marvel, right?
Got it, right? Lucasfilm Company is still its own thing, but it is owned by Disney,
right?
Bet that's
why we had what's her name from was it Teresa?
Tessa Thompson's character is named Teresa. Yes.
No, she's...
Oh, no.
That's Charlotte. No, Teresa was the girl that Bernard was in love with, remember? And then Ford made her kill her.
Oh, right.
But
she was like the CEO of like Westworld.
Oh, yes.
And then
sorry.
We got Tessa from Delos, which is like the big guys coming down. Yeah. And then now we have the COO guy, who is another guy from the corporation Delos, which is on a different side. Yeah, I need a graph chart.
It would be helpful.
Yeah. Some people, Ryan in the chat, who's more dangerous at this point, Maeve or Dolores?
Dolores.
I think it depends on the situation. Again, I would say Maeve has her eyes more open to me. Like, I honestly think Dolores is still that bit at the beginning where she's caught in her loop because of how open and real it felt to me before we catch her in the loop. I really feel like she is not 100% awake. I think her memories. Yeah, I think her memories were
currently?
Brought. Yeah, I think her memories were stored within her, not deleted, and that she's on a very driven path because it's the game. Like, there's still a game for William to play, And he needs Dolores to be doing the things in order for William to play mm-hmm. that game. If Dolores is not doing the things she's doing, that game kind of falls apart. There's a structure to it.
I think William's game is more of a byproduct of everything else that is going on. Robert Ford already knows that he's in the park. He knows that he's mm-hmm. a part of the equation. So I think in knowing what his narrative of Journey Into Night, all of these things are going to happen. One, William's going to get what he's always wanted, but two, he's going to be in the park, so he's going to be doing something. So I think Ford had to give him something either to distract him or to lead him towards something that mm-hmm. he wants. I don't think it's the other way
because
around.
They're racing for the same thing. That's why I think she's playing into his game. They're not intersecting yeah. a lot yet, but because they're racing, going towards the same yeah. thing, because she was the object of his early affection and messes that mm-hmm. plays a lot into how he'd been playing the game. Mm-hmm. I just honestly think that they're on a collision course and that she has been pre-programmed to do that. But I hear what you're saying. I think Maeve is more dangerous because she is looking around and seems to be making active decisions in the moment. Now, we saw from last season that her programming is still up from the she had the tablet and the guy she was talking to. So I don't really know, but that's my inherent feelings right now.
Yeah, I would go ahead.
Oh, totally side note, but I'm like, I want to know the answer to this, too. Daniel in the chat, how much cross-park action are we going to see the rest of the season?
We better get a whole lot, because that was game as hell for
us. Yes. I put it on Twitter, but funny thought of, like, we all talk about what the other worlds are, and everybody pointed out other ones. When we saw the tiger, I was like, before we saw it, I'm like, is it a mermaid? Because we were by water, and I'm like, do we have a fantasy park? And
that's a lot to send humans out. I know, we have underwater hotels now, so it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
It was just one of those, like, what are the weirdest, most bizarre things? And I was like, oh, yeah, a tiger. And then
they have, like, a medieval times one in the original movie, yeah. if I'm not mistaken.
There's a Roman one as well. Yeah. And then everyone's like, oh, you forgot about the Shogun and then the samurai world, which it's like, no, we talked about that.
That's the thing that we're probably going to most likely see. That's stuff we've yeah. seen footage for
this
season.
We already saw it, yeah. And I would love to see the characters from each of the worlds blend over to each other and be like, whoa, wait a minute, you know.
It'll be interesting to see, like, how many hosts there actually are, especially after we saw, like, a whole lake ocean thing filled with them. How many hosts are there? How many are you able to wake mm-hmm. up / program to do your bidding? And then what's the end goal? I still think that if we're looking at, like, end game, it's just to assimilate into human society and be free in that sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
what do you think endgame
is? That depends. Yeah. Well, I was going to say earlier, I think you have it backwards. I think Maeve is the one. I think she's free, but I think she's still closer to her loop. Mm-hmm. She's still stuck on this idea that she has to find her daughter, even though she knows that it's not really her daughter. And I think with much of the emphasis of season one is on Dolores being sentient. It's on her, the bicameral mind. It's on her getting her own voice. It's on her making the choice to kill Ford. It's on her to make the choice that these filthy humans who have been torturing us for fun, that mm-hmm. think that act like they're gods, even though they're actually inferior to us. And I know this now. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're going to take this world over. Because if we just get our freedom or whatever, it's not going to be enough. Because she knows how effed up humanity
is.
Season
one is also about Robert setting everybody up. Like, it's constantly about him. Like, we get the big reveal of Bernard being actually.
No, it's not. It's about. It totally is. No, in the end, it is. But that's only after he's figured out mm-hmm. what Arnold did. All of the things that happened only because of what Arnold set in motion. The reveries, the updates, all
Who
that stuff.
Okay. All I'm saying, I feel strongly that this is a whole thing between Arnold, Bernard, and Robert. This idea that, like, Robert hooked up his best friend to continue living out this, like, we don't have enough time to get into all of these
we'll
things
see.
Right now.
We'll get into it.
But this has been a whole bunch of fun.
It's a long process. Yes.
I'm really glad you guys are here. I love talking about the show. Thank you, fans in the chat, for joining us.
Thank you.
Until next week, folks, tell them where they can find you.
I'll go first. What's up, guys? You can find me on all social media, Dog Like Nate.
Sorry, we were like, and we go down line. Yes, and my name is Carrie Lane. You guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And thank you so much for joining us in the chat. And if you didn't watch it live, no worries. Please comment down below.
Hey, guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique in a couple of weeks in Ontario, California, where I will be doing a Darkwing Duck panel and a whole panel with General Thrawn, where we're talking about all things Star Wars. Join me there. Until then, we'll see you guys right here. Bye.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.